Can't hear you, Marlena.
I thought I was unmuted. All right, let's try again. Good evening. Welcome to the Minnesota OA How Live meeting. My name is Marlena, and I'm a compulsive eater and your leader for this meeting.
Hi, Marlena.
Hi, Marlena.
Hey, Marlena. Welcome.
Welcome.
So this is a meeting conceived to bring an added dimension of realism to our remote OA community. Our goal is to share the power of recovery via a meeting that is safe and by its nature very visual. We want to welcome all those attending. You may reference our attendee guide for detailed instructions and information. If you would like to participate in the meeting either by video or by phone, before the meeting begins, please use the Sign Up Genius link called Volunteer to Participate Virtually on our website, mnhowlive.org. On the same webpage, you will find a link to our meetings, readings, and tools. If you have not signed up, you may volunteer to take a reading or tool via our meetings live chat. Only 2-hour OA How sponsors share on tools. If you need technical help, you can register for a coaching session on Monday or Thursday evening via our Sign Up Genius form. If you are unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download the files. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish, join us in saying the Serenity.
God,
grant
us serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
The courage to change
the things I can.
And the wisdom to know the difference.
I will
not mine
be done.
Amen.
Marlene, you need to unmute.
Why does it keep muting me? Do I need to just keep
when we unmuted? Switch mode, when we switch mode, you get muted.
Oh, all right. So I assume I'm not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, we're here. Several of us.
No. Yeah. I am.
So please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the How format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. So would someone please read What is How?
This is Nancy, compulsive overeater.
Hey,
what is How?
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
What is How? How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did How begin? How began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hands in You, in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in How sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York, a sponsor's guide. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy. Would someone please read the only requirement?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara. Hey, Tamara. Welcome.
Hey, Tamara.
Thank you. The only requirement. Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the How concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation in the How meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms, and I pass.
Thank you, Tamara.
Thanks, Tamara.
Would someone please read the How concept?
We're not hearing you. Jane, is there someone else that could read?
Hi, I could probably read. I just have to find.
I have it here, Jane, if you want me to read it.
Oh, thanks.
Hi, I'm Heidi. Whoops, where's my video? I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Heidi. Thank you.
Yep, the How concept. The Overeaters Anonymous How meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the tools of the program and the 12 steps and 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the How of the program. We pray that the collective group conscious and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the How ideals will help us progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first three steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested on this meeting. Amen.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Would someone please read Reflections for the Newcomer?
Hi, it's Patricia. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm supposed to read Reflections for the Newcomer tonight. My name is Patricia. I'm calling from Toronto in Canada.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Patricia.
Hi. Welcome to OA How. We are also glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a discipline program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is, if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. From the doctor's opinion, Big Book, page Roman numeral 26, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must release all sponsees to discontinue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A bodily badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twist thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is the most powerful restorative. From the family afterward in the Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession that many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia.
Patricia.
And would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
This is Maggie. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Maggie.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, Maggie.
Hey, Maggie. Hi. Okay. Excerpt from, can anybody see me? I don't know how this works.
Yes.
This is the weirdest Zoom meeting I've ever been on. Okay. Excerpt from step 2 of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA. Okay. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled and our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday, quote, have our cake and eat it too, end quote. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight that we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting, with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned, along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain. Then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients that we needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached that level of suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder and harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause this misery. Pass.
Thank you, Maggie.
Thanks, Maggie.
And would someone please read from chapter 5 of the books Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works?
Hi, my name is Pamela, compulsive overeater and food addict.
And hi, Pamela.
How are you, Pamela?
Oh, everybody, it's good to be
here.
Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. Some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps which we are suggested as a program of recovery. Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
And would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Yes, I'm Susan, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Susan.
It's my Susan.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we're willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. From the Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60.
Thank you, Susan.
And would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Susan, I have you down for that too. Need to unmute.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity in the spiritual is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you again, Susan.
Thank you.
Thanks, Susan.
Thank you.
The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
What?
No way!
Oh, man.
Wow.
Oh.
Step two with our tools of recovery. I will ask that how sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper? You don't need to be a sponsor to be a timekeeper. It's a great service.
Ruth is our timekeeper.
All right. Thank you, Ruth. Participants receive timing prompts via chat. So would someone please read and share on plan of eating?
Hi. Oh, am I unmuted? Hi, this is Kelly. Wait, I've been practicing. Or Kelly, from California, and I am a great
Kelly.
Reader.
Hey, Kelly, welcome.
Kelly, hey, welcome.
Kelly. Yay. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The HOW disciplines were designed for food-addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. HOW abstainers do not modify their food plans to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in HOW. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of food plan. Through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down and called into our sponsor and committed so we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concept use the following guidelines for food plans. One, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows for any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Two, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food in any way. We need to change our committed food during the day we call a sponsor. We weigh and measure all our portions so there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and a scale. So it says verbally, but since we're on Zoom, I'm going to describe how to use the cups and spoons. First one, I got one at a thrift store, and I figured this is the old school spring-loaded one. I've never used it since I've been in HOW, but there might come a day where I don't have batteries and I'm going to need to use it. But you would just put the little top on and get down eye level to see what you're weighing and measuring. This is my go-to. I think I've ordered it like 5 times on Amazon because I have one everywhere. They come in a variety of colors. There's teal and there's black. You can tell I love this one. And we just use it. We put our bowl on. We tear it out, which is zeroing at our food. Tear it out if we're going to use something else. And we weigh and measure all of our food. So this just takes the guesswork. I have really big eyeballs. So if it was up to me to just pick how much steak I think I need to eat, it would be way more than what my food plan asks for. These are really cool to bring to a restaurant because, boom, they can unfold in your purse, and this is a half-cup measuring cup. So this is a good travel one in my abstinent kit that everyone talks about having that I didn't have for the first few months when I was in HOW, which, of course, I needed one. So I'm a big proponent of getting your abstinent kit ready to travel to go, fits in your purse. Another cool one that I like. It's just one item, but it could be a teaspoon or a tablespoon. kind of, where's my camera? Depending on what you need, you just kind of click it. So this is a good take with you one. Otherwise, my ride or die is just the tablespoon. I feel like I can get any measurements I need with just having this one. So if you're using spoons, you are just gonna use a straight edge, not the best example, but just whatever's in the spoon is yours and whatever is not, is not. And then they just said to put your telephone as part of your plan of eating, because you're gonna need a phone to call your sponsor, anything goes wrong. If you wonder what could go wrong with my food plan, then just hold on tight. Something's going to happen where you need to reach out to someone. You forget your food, your scale battery dies, what you thought you were going to have, one of your kids ate it, it fell on the floor. I mean, it's happened. So you always just want your phone charged so you can make a call if you need to. And let me go on. We weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight, and once a week until on maintenance. Number five, unless otherwise advised by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. Number six, we do not drink alcohol. Number seven, we do not use foods containing sugar except if sugar is listed fifth or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HAL program. It is not the string bean that counts. It is the decision to count, to take it. And what I love about abstinence and my food plan and everything is, you know, I had to have the food down before I came in. They call that step zero of just being abstinent. And for me, I just can't work the steps and I can't think logically when I'm in the food. So for me, I just had to be my food down. What I love that the food plan comes from a nutritionist is that she works with compulsive overeaters. I've been in Weight Watchers for 20 years and I was just buying our own sugar products and, you know, triggering the allergy within the rooms there. So my food plan is just designed for me, my age, my height, my activity level, where I'm at in maintenance. So it's just such a beautiful thing. It just takes all that guesswork. I never knew what I should be eating for my size. I never knew how to maintain my weight. So it's such a gift in how that we get here and we get help, that our food plan comes from a nutritionist. There's so many things that of the tools that we use, and so just grateful to be able to pitch on that. And that's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kelly.
Would someone read and share on sponsorship?
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Howard.
Hey, Howard, welcome.
Hi there.
Howard.
Hey.
Hey, sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A HAL sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HAL program. It's not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have that which results in some trouble. The HAL concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, readings, and writing, service and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. I a long time ago, I heard the term that sponsors are passing the torch. So they're passing the torch from themselves to a sponsee, another member of the program. And what that kind of meant to me is that you actually have something to pass, you know, that you, you know, we ask that people who have worked through those 70 days and have weighed and measured abstinence, that they now have the experience to help someone else. They actually have done it. And so they can pass the torch. You know, as a sponsor is working the inventory process, numbers 4 through 9, where they're making their list, they're putting down all, you know, the people that they've harmed and making amends. Either they're doing that while they're getting a newcomer started, or they have done it in the past. You know, once that newcomer gets to that inventory, they have experience about, you know, what it means to have to do harm, what it means to put someone down on the list, what it means to make amends, and the willingness to change and to grow, you know, and that is something that they can pass on. I was shocked when I started how different my sponsor talked to me than my therapist talked to me. I remember talking to someone after the meeting, and I mentioned that, you know, I was drinking like a couple quarts of carrot juice a day, and I was growing sprouts and wheat in my house, because I had read that was like really a spiritual thing to do. Now my therapist told me that was ambitious. The sponsor after meeting said, you know, I told her, I said I was turning orange. She said, you know, if what you're doing isn't, and I felt terrible, if what you're doing isn't working, change. I also remember when I finally asked someone to sponsor me and I called them up for the first time, I mentioned that I was eating fruit juice sweetened cookies and eating a lot of them. Now, my therapist said that was an improvement. My sponsor said, you know, that wouldn't work for me. And I said, you know, it's really not working for me. And so, you know, here's a person I'm not paying, and all they are doing is sharing their experience, strength, and hope. My first sponsor was firstly a member of AA. So they had been sponsored and were in AA, and they were and they had sponsees in AA. And so that's how my sponsor worked with me. Very different than my therapist, but thank goodness I really needed direct and clear feedback. I needed to be challenged. I needed to be shaken up. I needed some disruption in my life, the way I was going. You know, I just was on a track that I would not, I was not going to have any kind of success or happiness in my life. And I'm just looking at my timing here. You know, it was different, but it was what I needed. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Howard.
Thanks, Howard.
Thanks, Howard.
For the sake of time, will all HOW and OA sponsors please join me in sharing only the following: how long in OA and how? How long abstinent in OA and how? How much weight lost or gained? This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by starting your video and clicking the raise hand button on the participants panel, are pressing *9 on your phone, or just start your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line.
Mary?
This yes. is Mary G. This is Mary G. in St. Paul, Minnesota. My abstinence date is November 1st, 2012. I've lost and maintained 75 pounds. Pass.
Lewis?
Paralysis over food. My name is Lewis in Maryland. I'm a 2-hour OA HOW. format sponsor. I came into OA How in March of 2006. My back-to-back abstinence date is from January 3rd of last year. And by the grace of God, I've lost more than 100 pounds.
Sheila. I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater. I came directly to How in May of 2015. My abstinence date is May 19th of 2015, and I have been relieved of over 90 pounds. Pass.
Nancy.
Nancy, go ahead. Nancy D.
But nonetheless, Nancy D, compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of How. I'm in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. I came into the rooms of How in September of 2017, and my back-to-back abstinence date is July 3rd of 2018, and I've been relieved of 108 pounds.
Betty C.
Hi, my name is Betty, the compulsive overeater, and I have been connected to How since August 12th. Of 2016, and it has been great for my spirit and my soul, and I have been able to push away 100 pounds. Thank you.
Megan.
Hi all, it's Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater and an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away 85 to 90 pounds in program twice, and I'm at abstinence. I'm at maintenance. Wait, excuse me, and I pass.
Kelly C.
Hi, my name is Kelly C. I'm a compulsive overeater from outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I started OA How 2-hour format in December of 2019, and that is also my abstinence state, and I have been relieved of about 35 pounds, gratefully, and I pass. Thank you.
Jane.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jane, compulsive eater in on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, Canada. I came into the 2-hour How program on September 19th of last year, 2019, have been abstinent ever since, and I've been relieved of about 14 pounds. Thanks.
Bryn.
I'm Bryn, recovering compulsive eater in Wisconsin. I walked through the doors of OA How March 2004. I previously gave away another program, gave away 235 pounds out of 554 pounds. And then I walked the doors of OA How. My most recent abstinence date is October 2007. And right now, per my doctor's instruction, I'm holding the line at 225 pounds. I pass.
Maureen.
Hi, everyone. Maureen in Virginia. I joined traditional OA in March of 2019 and became sugar abstinent. Then I joined OA How in January of this year, became fully abstinent, and have gratefully lost 50 pounds. With that, I pass.
Ruth.
Hi, this is Ruth in Connecticut. I'm an OA How sponsor. I came into regular OA in the 80s, and then I came to OA How in 2006. My back-to-back date is December 11th of 2008. And I'm maintaining a 45-pound weight loss. Ruth in Connecticut.
Chris J.
Hi, Chris J. from Sterling Heights, Michigan. I entered OA How in 2005. My black and white abstinence date is July 26, 2007. And by the grace of my higher power through this program, I've maintained a 123-pound weight loss.
Tamara.
Hi, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been blessed with the gift of abstinence on April 3rd of 2017. I have been relieved of almost 100 pounds with 75 pounds in the How program. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2019, and I pass. Thank you.
Anne Marie. I gotta unmute you, Anne Marie. Hold on.
There we go. Hey, everybody. I'm Anne Marie. I am a compulsive overeater in Virginia. I am a OA 2-hour How sponsor. I came in 2014. I got my abstinence in March of this year, and I've been relieved over the years since I started PAL of 150 pounds, and I passed. Thank you.
Howard.
Hi there, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor in the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 34 years. I have 19 years and 2 months of abstinence in a way how I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Anybody else? Anybody on the phone? Press star six.
Hi, Pamela.
Oh, Pamela, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Pamela. I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict. I'm a 2-hour house sponsor. I came into PAL on January 22nd, 2016. My recommitment date is June 15th, 2017. And I'm at maintenance weight, but I don't dwell on my weight loss or gain anymore. Thank you.
Amanda.
Hi, I'm Amanda, compulsive overeater, food addict. I began my journey in the rooms of Howe in October of 2003. My current back-to-back absence is May 5th of this year. I've released 36 pounds since returning to the program, 101 for my top weight. I do have an opening for a newcomer or a returning fellow. I will put my information in the chat. Pass.
Kelly.
Hi, Kelly, compulsive overeater in California. I came to OA Howe in October of 2018. My back-to-back date is February 27th, 2019, and I'm maintaining a 70-pound weight loss. Pass.
Kira, you need to unmute.
Sorry. All right. My name is Carrie. I'm a compulsive over and under eater from Minnesota. I came into the rooms of Howe last year in September, and I have been relieved of 35 pounds. I do have a sponsee opening, and I'm on Central Time, and my phone number is 320-267-5159, and I'll put that in the chat again. And then is there anybody else that's a sponsor that wants to speak up?
Yes, this is Marlena.
Okay,
and,
go ahead, Marla.
And I am a 2-hour house sponsor, and my most recent recommitted abstinent date is April 22nd of this year, and I'm down 51 pounds from my top weight.
I think that's it, Marlena. So if you want to go ahead.
So Clay.
Go ahead, we got one person on the phone.
All right.
This is Nancy from Virginia.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Yeah. Okay. I am a 2-hour house sponsor, and I got into OA face-to-face PAL a long time ago, 1998. My back-to-back is May 24th of 2002, and I passed.
Thank you, Nancy. Anybody else? Did we miss anybody? All right, clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as the perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion. And if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. And now, would somebody be willing to read and share on anonymity?
Piles over food. My name is Lewis. Anonymity. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other services of service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery. Recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here, here.
Here, here.
Yep.
Here.
So, anonymity is one of the most powerful lures that got me into this program. So I was 12-stepped in here, and I came to a meeting and immediately felt like I was home. I had such shame about my disease. I had such self-hatred about my disease. And what I saw clearly was that the principle of anonymity is held so strongly by this fellowship that it created a place of safety that I'd never experienced before in my life. And so the other aspect of anonymity that's really important is that my disease wants me to distinguish myself from others. And that's the first step towards a slip and relapse. And I've relapsed quite a bit in my experience with Hal. So the principle of anonymity pushes me to contribute and to belong to the group and to eliminate any desire to distinguish myself from others, because it's only in this experience of belonging that I can truly be of service to others. The last thing I want to share about anonymity is I've learned this much from dealing with my family, and this comes from Just For Today. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. So in other words, it's part of my desire to be distinct from others. If I got into emotional pain, I would make sure that everyone around me would suffer like I'm suffering with my pain. And one of the principles of why anonymity is so important to me is that I may feel pain now, but I make sure that I don't show it to others so that I can be of service to others and not try to draw attention to myself, but to contribute to whomever or with whomever I am with. So this principle really helps me to get out of myself and to belong to whomever I am with. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thank you, Lewis. And would somebody read and share on telephone calls?
Got to unmute. Hi, this is Betty, a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Betty.
I want to talk. Go ahead. Okay, I'll begin. Telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard to handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors and, as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. In HOW, we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. And I'm just here to tell you that as much as I like to isolate, I really like to utilize the telephone to be with other people over the phone and to reach out to them, and how lovely it is to say something that is bugging me and have them say, yeah, I had that same experience. It's very a warm and accepting experience. I jotted down a few other thoughts on the telephone. It keeps the spirit of the program alive in me. It keeps me from focusing so much on myself, and more helps me focus more on others. It allows me to reach out to others, share and give comfort to others, to express my fears and challenges in staying abstinent. It gives me a larger network of resources, people, voices who support as well as may challenge my thinking. It's an opportunity to share experience, strength, and hope, and it gives our program even more structure. Thank you, I'll pass.
Thank you, Betty. And would somebody read and share on meetings?
Hi, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara.
Hey, Tamara. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thank you. Meetings are gatherings of 2 or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least 1 HOW meeting a week. I work in an environment where I have to wear a mask around other people, and I'm feeling really liberated because we don't need one here with our virtual meeting. It almost feels like it used to be before the pandemic. But I am very thankful. If we indeed had a face-to-face meeting, we wouldn't be meeting right now. I'm very thankful that the technology for the Zoom meeting was here 2 years ago when this meeting started. And I'm very, very glad that we were on board and have been able to continue the meeting and have the connection that we do with these fellows. I really like how the HOW meetings focus on the solution. We do indeed, share strength and hope. It's not a meeting of complaining about the situation or the problems. It's a meeting about finding the solution and sharing that with others. I once heard someone say, when you do all the talking, you only learn what you already know. And that's definitely my case. When I was doing my my inventory and my my fourth step, I found that a lot of times I thought I knew what was best for everyone, and interrupting and doing most of the talking and thinking I was kind of going to solve everyone's problems was a real big character defect. And I'm really thankful that with these meetings, it's our turn to listen and to gain wisdom from other people and what they've gone through. I just want to share the last line of page 38. It's talking about for today, I listen to all who speak at meetings because I can never know in advance when someone will say just what I need to hear. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for all being at this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Tamara. And will somebody please read and share on literature and writing?
Hi, everybody. This is Pamela, compulsive overeater and food addict.
Hey, Pamela.
Hey, Pamela.
That's so welcoming. I love it. Literature and writing. Literature. We study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book, to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, for today, for daily meditation and lifeline, our journal of recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to our writing, our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. I picked this tool tonight because I've been doing the maintenance questions. It's really assignments, it's not really questions. And, you know, I've been getting a lot out of it. It's a different way for me to read the Big Book. And every day there's something new. I'm on the last part of the 164 pages. I'm writing and reading on the 12th step. And, you know, for me, that's helping others and guiding others as to the 12 steps. And I love it. I love working with newcomers. And I like to, you know, I love the newcomer that I can teach and share and let help them through the steps. And I haven't had a newcomer in a while. My literature and writing, I do put my feelings down on paper and a troubling incident. And I have found that during the day, I pause and I say, thy will, not mine be done. And then I continue on, and it's so relieving. And I got that from reading the big book. I've had a troubling incident not too long ago, and I shared it with my sponsor quickly. Something had happened. My husband misunderstands me a lot because he's going deaf. I can't complain because I am too. I'm getting my hearing aids this Thursday. And I was complaining, and I took it to my sponsor, and before I even had to put it on a resentment list, it was gone. It was, you know, those are things that I can put down and talk about. I love the literature, and I love doing my writing and putting in my thoughts and feelings down on paper, because if I keep them in my head, I let them play in the sandbox, and that's not healthy. Thank you for letting me share on this subject.
Thank you, Pamela.
Welcome.
And so the Minnesota OA HAL live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first
time. We have a service.
Oh, wonder I lost track of where I was. Somebody please read and share on service.
That's me, Marlena, Megan in Virginia. Thank you.
Thank you,
Megan. Hi, Megan, welcome.
Megan.
Hi, Megan.
Marlena. Hi, and I had my readings all pulled up, and it's doing the same thing again as it did last week. I apologize. It's just spinning. Could somebody read it for me? I don't know why I'm having technical issues. I'm sorry. Does anyone have the reading?
Hi, Megan. I have it. This is Jane.
Thank you, Jane. I apologize.
Here, I'll show up here. Okay. Jane, compulsive overeater. Tool number 8, service. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship, and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise, always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jane, for the service. So another way to be of service. This is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater and an OA house sponsor. Hey, I'm so grateful for the tool of service. Without service, we would not have a program. We wouldn't have meetings. We wouldn't have the ability to recover. I think our whole program rests on the service of each other to each other, and on the service that has come before that is now being poured forward into all of our lives. And I was reading and writing this past week. I'm reading and writing in an AA meditation book. It's called AA 24 Hours a Day. And it was talking about service. And this is what I wrote. And it was a new way for me to look at it. So I thought I would share it because maybe it would be new for somebody else too. Probably just me, but you never know. In the beginning, before the psychic change had had a chance to be established in my life, there were many hard days when I leaned so much on the strength of the fellowship, this we of the program, to get me through. Today, I am able to give service as to others. I receive a great deal of service as well. But today, I do not usually have to hang on to others like a drowning person hangs on to a lifesaver. I swim alongside most days, trying to cast out lines to others, to offer encouragement along the way. There are certainly still days that I need those lifelines, that I feel like I am drowning, but it is not every day as it was in the beginning, when everything was just about the food and fighting not to eat it. Today, abstinence is my norm, my default setting, but I never want to take that for granted. It is truly a miracle in my life and not something to be taken lightly. This is why I plan. I make sure I have my food. I work this program every day, even on vacation. When I give service to a newcomer, this keeps me in touch with reality, the reality that I am blessed with abstinence and recovery today. Service allows me to pass it on to the next person. So that's what I have to share today. I just, it's, you know, a really good thing that we're able to pass it on to the next person. And we're also able at the same time to receive ourselves. It's like this, you know, continual circle. And sometimes I need more service than others, you know, and people are there to pour it into me. And then other times I have more to give and I'm able to pour that into the next person. And with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
Well, all people doing service for OA at any level, please stand and applaud service.
Yay, service.
So now we're here. The Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press star and six on your telephone keypad and introduce yourself by your first name only and where you are from. If you would like to receive phone calls, please give us your phone number, time zone, and best times to call.
I'm Jane. Hi. I can't hear you, but I think you're on mute.
Hi, yeah. Jane.
Hey, Jane. Welcome.
I live in Maine. I'm Eastern time. My number is 207-874-2219. Thank you for people putting their numbers on the back. I am looking for a sponsor. I am in OA and I'm looking to move to Howe. And thank you for the meeting. That's it.
Thanks, Jane.
Welcome, Jane.
Glad you're here.
Me too.
Any other newcomers?
Hi, I'm Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Welcome. Hi. Thanks, everybody. This is my very first meeting with this, and I'm in another 12-step program, and it's been good. And so the compulsive overeating is really my first addiction, I guess. So I'm looking forward to getting help here and meeting you all. I'm not sure exactly how this works, but my phone number is 315-440-4315. I'm in Syracuse, New York, and that's the Eastern time zone. So thanks, Lisa. Everybody.
Hi, Lisa. Glad you're here.
Thanks, Lisa.
Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, my name's Maureen, and I'm from the Boston area, and this is my first time at this meeting. And I haven't been able to start my video, actually. I have been in OA, regular OA for years, but I've been struggling. So I'm just here at this meeting and just trying to find out some more information about how. Thank you.
Yeah.
Welcome, Maureen. Would you like to leave your number?
Yes, it's 781-738-8173. Thank you. And I have taken a lot of numbers for a sponsor. I do need a sponsor. So That'd be good.
Great. Thank you. Welcome, Maureen.
Thank you.
Any other newcomers? Well, welcome, Jane, Lisa, and Maureen. We're glad to have you here. So this meeting has ASL interpretation provided by state funding. We ask all deaf participants to please utilize the chat to let us know you are here. Please include the city and state in which you reside. You can also inform us by changing your username to ASL_name_state_city. So may we please have a treasurer's report.
I'm Proud Server Food. My name is Lewis, and I am the new treasurer.
Hey, Lewis.
I'm the new treasurer. Hey.
Lewis.
I'm the new treasurer of this group, and I'm working with Howard to get the all the bank account information and access and all that transferred to me. So I'll have more information on this next week. But thank you for the opportunity for service.
And thank you for your service, Lewis.
Thank you, Lewis.
Thanks, Lewis.
Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to mnhowlive.org to donate. The promises, we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Are there any announcements?
Hi, all. It's Megan in Virginia. I do have a quick one. I'm one of the people who finds speakers for this meeting, and we have an opening that's just come available for August 25th. So we need one more person to sign up for August if you're available. And then in September, I have an opening in September, but it's not till the end of the month. So September 29th is open and then August 25th. So August is obviously what we're looking to fill first. So if you can call, if you can speak, I'm going to put my information again down in the chat and you can reach out to me and we would love to hear your story. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you. Go ahead.
All right. Hi, this is Carrie. I'm a compulsive overeater and undereater from Minnesota. There are a couple volunteer opportunities. One is the intergroup rep. We need a virtual intergroup rep to represent this meeting. And we also need somebody to help with the ASL getting more people who can benefit from this meeting who are ASL, I don't know the right word. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. So if you're interested in that, please reply to the email that I sent out on Sunday. Again, this is Carrie from Minnesota. Thanks.
Any other announcements? Literature and books, newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. So it's now time for medallions at How Meetings. We recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the How program. all other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. So I'm used to other meetings. Does anyone have 10 years or more? 6 to 9 years? 2 to 5 years? 1 year? How about 9 months? 6 months?
Hi, everyone. I have 6 months.
Hi.
It's Rebecca B. from OA How.
Way to go, Rebecca.
Rebecca!
Yay.
Oh, Rebecca. Yay, Rebecca.
Six Congratulations.
Months on Sunday. So.
Yay, Rebecca.
Doing it with
Yay,
you.
Yay, Rebecca.
Congratulations. Any more?
I'm Betty. Sorry, I'm Betty. I have 4 years.
Ah.
Oh, Betty. Betty.
Awesome, Betty.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did we miss anybody else as I went down?
I'm Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater. I have 90 days as of yesterday, 3 months.
Oh, congratulations.
Yay. Yay. Go, Kelly. Yay.
Go, Kelly.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And anyone else for 90 days, 3 months? How about 60 days, 2 months? 30 days, 1 month? And we have a chip of desire, and that means that you you don't need to be abstinent. You just need to have heard something that inspires you to be abstinent. Does anyone want a chip of desire?
Hi, I'm Lisa. I've heard a lot of good messages and a lot of things I can relate to. So yes, I'd like one.
Great. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Welcome home.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I'd also like one too, please. Thank you.
Good oh, yay, congratulations.
Great. Thank you. Congratulations, Lisa and Maureen. And I will believe, I believe you will be contacted to receive your chips. So step-ups, at this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first 3 steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At How meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers, remember to drink your water, and remember that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups?
Yes.
Yes.
Nancy. We have Nancy.
All right.
Yay, Nancy.
Yay, Nancy.
Yay, Nancy.
Now, I'm not quite sure. I know how to get to it on the Sunday meeting, but I'm not sure where the step up is. It after everything?
Yeah, the reading is at the end of the reading.
Oh, yes.
Guide.
Yes. So, before you, you have 5 candles, truth, reality, surrender, acceptance, and knowledge. OA offers each of us a wonderful opportunity to develop and hasten an attitude change known as ego reduction. The use of these disciplines of weighing and measuring, phone calls, reporting to sponsors, and attending meetings all combine to reinforce our growth in OA. Action is the magic word. Until we so humble ourselves through these acts, there is no evidence of our ego reduction or our surrender to anyone or anything outside of ourselves. Each candle signifies a step toward arresting the progression of our disease. The first 2 represent truth and reality. Without these 2 qualities, we would not be recovering compulsive overeaters. Even the newest of of newcomers finds undreamed, oh no, that's, sorry, I'm not supposed to read that yet. This is my first time doing this meeting's format. Will whoever has candle one, please read candle one.
Hi, I'm Maureen, and congratulations, Nancy, to you. I have candle number one. The candle of truth is the keynote of those who strive to stop the advancement of compulsive overeating. It is the unrelenting force that permits no double standard. Its attainment brings the satisfaction of inward peace. We must fearlessly face the truth to avoid the ever-present pitfall of self-deception.
And who has candle number two?
Congratulations, Nancy. This is candle number two. It's the candle of reality, and it is a new light. It opens the door to a new life. It holds a promise of new understanding. It offers a chance for personal renewal. It makes a statement that goes beyond fantasy, and it holds the dream of a better tomorrow. Without the light of reality, we are destined to remain in that sick, shadowy world of past mistakes and unrealistic dreams of false tomorrows.
Alrighty, I am up. And this is congratulations, Nancy, from one Nancy to another. Candle three, and this is the candle of surrender. In OA, surrender is the first and most important act necessary to launch you into the other step. Without the surrender of your food, your ego, and your will, all else is hopeless. When you surrender, you suspend such negative emotions as disbelief, grandiosity, and you open yourself up to the process of learning who you are and where you fit into the scheme of things. With that, I pass.
And do we have candle number four?
Hi, this is Betty. I have candle number four, and I want to congratulate Nancy. Candle four is the candle of acceptance. Without acceptance, you could not have come this far. Acceptance is seeing things as they really are. Acceptance is understanding that we have spent our lives denouncing everything, and now we must open up our hearts as well as our minds and accept. We must accept the will of God. Accept that only He can restore us to sanity.
Hi, Nancy, it's Howard. Congratulations. I have candle five. This is the candle of knowledge, and it opens the door wide. We now know that God is on our side. We can now see and hear His pronouncements in our lives. We recognize that it is that way that we may do in what only He can do. We acknowledge that the greatest gift He has given us is knowing ourselves. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Nancy. Even the newest of newcomers finds unearned rewards as he tries to help his brother alcoholic, the one who is even blinder than he. This is indeed the kind of giving that actually demands nothing. He does not expect his brother sufferer to pay him or even to love him. And then he discovers that by the divine paradox of this kind of giving, he has found his own reward. Whether his brother has yet recovered anything or not, his own character may still be gravely defective, but he somehow knows that God has enabled him to make a mighty beginning. And he senses that he stands at the edge of a new mystery. Of new mysteries, joys, and experiences of which he had never even dreamed. Practically every AA member declares that no satisfaction has been deeper and no joy greater than a 12-step job well done, to watch the eyes of men and women with wonder as they move from darkness into light, to see their lives quickly fill with new purpose and meaning, to see whole families reassembled, to see the alcoholic outcast received back into his community in full citizenship, and above all, to watch these people awaken to the presence of a loving God in their lives. These things are the substance of what we receive as we carry the message to the next alcoholic. So congratulations, Nancy.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Nancy.
Yay. Good job. Yay. Good congratulations, job. Nancy.
Yay.
Congratulations. Yes. Way to go, Nancy.
Yay. So yay. Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries?
Yes, we have Betty.
I was thinking that, Betty. So
here I am.
Hey, Betty. Congratulations.
Okay, start video. Stop video. Okay.
And Betty, did you want me to read that or someone else? Or maybe I have to.
That would be fine if you do. I'd be pleased with that.
Betty, now comes the biggest question yet. What about the practice of these principles in all our affairs? Can we love the whole person? Pattern of living as eagerly as we do the small segment of it that we discover when we try to help other alcoholics achieve sobriety? Can we bring the same spirit of love and tolerance into our sometimes deranged family lives that we bring to our AA group? Can we have the same kind of confidence and faith in these people who have been infected and sometimes crippled by our own illness that we have in our sponsors? Can we actually carry the AA spirit into our daily work? Can we meet our newly recognized responsibilities to the world at large? And can we bring new purpose and devotion to the religion of our choice? Can we find a new joy of living in trying to do something about all of these things? Furthermore, how shall we come to terms with seeing failure our success? Can we now accept and adjust to either without despair or pride? Can we accept poverty, sickness, loneliness, bereavement, and courage, and with courage and serenity? Can we steadfastly content ourselves with the humbler yet sometimes more durable satisfactions when the brighter, more glittering achievements are denied us? The AA answer to all these questions about living is yes, all of these things are possible. We know this because we see monotony, pain, and even calamity turned to good use by those who keep on trying to practice AA's 12 steps. And if these are facts of life for the many alcoholics who have recovered in AA, they can become the facts of life for many more. So congratulations, Betty.
Thank you so
congratulations,
much.
Betty.
Thank
congratulations,
you.
Betty.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Betty.
Betty, congratulations.
Thank you. Woo-hoo. Thank you. I appreciate so much the guidance and spirit and companionship that this meeting gives me along with my higher power. Thank you so sincerely.
So normally this would be time that I as leader would qualify for 10 minutes, but since we've had a step up and an anniversary and the sponsor line gets longer and longer as this program is a success, there isn't time for that. And so I humbly and happily pass. And I'd like to introduce the speaker. Actually, I don't know who the speaker is. Will someone tell me who I am introducing?
Anne Marie is our speaker.
I'd like to introduce Anne Marie, our guest who qualifies for 20 minutes.
Hey, hi everybody, I'm Anne Marie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I hope you
Anne
can
Marie.
See
me. Hi Anne Marie, hey,
Anne
welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome. Hi, Anne Marie.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here and to do service. So like I said, I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been a compulsive overeater, I want to say my entire life, but I do believe that I have an allergy, and when it's triggered, I can't stop. I can't stop eating. And I like to blame my compulsive overeating on the fact that I'm half Italian, that my dad really liked food, you know, on things that have happened in my life. But the truth is that I do have a predisposition, and I don't know why that is. It doesn't really matter to me today. I used to really be hung up on that, blaming my heritage, my parents, et cetera. So I came in first I'm going to say my top weight was over 350 pounds. And I believe that Howard has some photographs that he's going to put up on the screen for us. And I've been in some form of OA since 2016. But I didn't get abstinent in the OA 2-hour HAL program until this year. I've had abstinence off and on since 2016, but it's been since I came in and really started working the program have I had the kind of abstinence that I have now. So I started the 2-hour format in November of 2019, got abstinent in March of this year, like I said. I've lost 50 pounds since March of this year in this program. I'm at maintenance weight, and I'm grateful for that. And the pictures that Howard is showing right now, this is actually on my honeymoon. I was 32 years old, about 230 pounds in that picture. I'm sorry, 330 pounds in that picture. And same with these when after I had my children. So I grew up in the Philadelphia suburbs. I grew up Catholic, and I went to all Catholic schools all the way through high school. And, you know, one of the pivotal moments in my life was when I was 8 years old, and I was having, you know, struggling with sexual abuse as a child. And I really think that my food addiction took off at that time. It really became my only way to really cope. And I can look back on that now and see that, see my food addiction as something that may have saved me, you know, being a young girl like that and not having anywhere to go, you know, that was what I used. And, but as I got older, you know, and even as a child, if you looked at my pictures between age or second grade and third grade, I probably put on, you know, a good 60 pounds or something like that. So it really took off. I thought that God hated me. I really did. I thought that I just, you know, couldn't be accepted in the Catholic Church. I thought the nuns hated me. In high school, it really, really took off my defiance and my rebellion. I started using drugs and alcohol, and that became a big problem. Moved to New England, went to college, and wound up, you know, just a lot of drugs and alcohol and food. You know, it was just like the trifecta of addiction. At 30, I moved back to Pennsylvania, and I met my husband, who I'm no longer married to. We got married when I was 32, had two kids, and that's when I, with my daughter, that's when I found out what my top weight was, because I went to the obstetrician and they weighed me and the scale only went up to 350. So they put a plus sign next to the weight on my chart. And I just vividly remember that. You know how we have like pictures of certain moments in our lives where we just, you know, can see so vividly the reality of our food, you know, addiction. So I was married for 9 years, had two children, like I said, and in when I was 39, I woke up one morning to a undercover police officer at my door arresting my husband on my front yard. And that was the moment that I just, you know, picked up everything and said, I'm going at this alone. I'm done. That's it. It was a shock. He'd never been in any sort of trouble before. So, that was the beginning of my journey in recovery, because that, later that year, I walked into my first AA meeting by mistake. What happened was, is I had a coworker who had an alcoholic sister and was having trouble with her. And I said, you know, I have an alcoholic brother, and I think I've heard about Al-Anon. I think maybe, you know, I would do that with you. I think it might be useful for me too. We went to the Al-Anon meeting, but didn't realize that that meeting was on the other side of the church, and wound up being in the AA meeting by mistake. That was very telling, because when I when the AA meeting was over, I guess we felt like we couldn't leave. We were trapped there or something. We stayed for the whole meeting. And when it was over, I remember my coworker saying, what did you think about the meeting? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I really got a lot out of that. I could really, you know, identify with a lot of people that were sharing in the room. And she's like, I don't understand. She's like, these are the most selfish and self-centered people I've ever laid eyes on. And I don't identify with not even one of them. And that was my aha moment when I realized that here's two people that went to the same meeting and had two very different experiences. So what did that mean? So I went out and, you know, did some more research, came back into program, was sober for about 5 months when I left Pennsylvania with my 4-year-old and my 1-year-old, moved to Virginia, which is where I am now. I've been here for 10 years and, you know, raised my kids on my own. I'm a single mom. I haven't gotten remarried or anything like that. And after 5 months of moving here, I relapsed in my AA program. I was out drinking and drugging for a year. Came back in. All this time, the food, you know, is still very much part of everything. And got sober. I've been sober for 9 years. 6 years, or actually 5 years of sobriety, I talked to my sponsor and I said, my compulsive eating is out of control, and I feel like if I don't do something about it, it's going to take down the whole deck of cards. It's like I'm going to go back out drinking and drugging, like everything's going to just fall apart. It was almost like my compulsive eating got, that addiction got even a stronger hold on me because I wasn't using the drugs and alcohol anymore. And it was like trying to take me down, you know? And so I talked to her about it, and she happened to know someone that was in OA and said, I can have this person, you know, call you, or you can, you know, I'll ask her if you can call her. And I said, okay. My very first OA meeting was an OA HOW meeting. It was a local 1 hour HOW meeting. I thought that I was doing HOW since, you know, 2016. But found out when I came into the 2 hour format in the end of last year that I was not doing OA HOW the way that it is outlined in our program. And lo and behold, within 5 months of coming in, you know, I made that decision, you know, and I decided that I was going to do this. I think I had done one phone meeting at one point and got really freaked out because, you know, like, even though they suggested in the 1 hour meeting, you know, that we make phone calls, and like, it was sort of, you know, if you get around to it kind of thing. It wasn't how it is in our program, you know? And I was just kind of allowed, or maybe I just always was doing it my way. And, you know, this is all in my head that, that it wasn't as stringent, but, you know, I did have sponsors, and, you know, they didn't weigh and measure in restaurants. They, you know, texted their calls, you know, they texted their sponsor, their food, stuff like that, you know, that didn't work for me. I was slipping and sliding from 2016 to 2000, well, this year, really. My experience is that every time that I was dishonest about my program, which I was notorious for, I'd tell you I made the calls, but I didn't. I would tell you that I was weighing and measuring my food, and I wasn't. Anything that you can not do in this program, I've not done it. And my results were my program gave me my results. And I just, you know, was never really abstinent. And every time that I was dishonest, it was the seed of the next slip. You know, it might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, but eventually, because I didn't, you know, omitted something, didn't tell my sponsor something, I would slip. And this happened to me over and over again, to the point where my slips were getting closer together. And it was going to turn into just one giant, you know, not pure anymore in this, you know, just in relapse. So I decided that I was going to do this program, actually do it. And I talked to someone in the program. I got honest. Imagine that. The first H in the HOW. I got honest with a with a sponsor in this program, and I was, you know, saying how, you know, I lie and I don't even want to lose my sponsor. And if I tell her, she's, you know, going to let me go because this is my third time. And that person just said to me, you know, who are you lying to? And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, who are you like getting one over on, you know, when you're dishonest? And I was like, well, my sponsor and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, I think maybe, you know, you're lying to yourself. And that was like an aha moment. And also when I realized that I was depriving myself of this program. I was depriving myself of the phone calls. I was depriving myself of the freedom that we get when we put our food on the scale and in the cups. I didn't want to be one of you. Okay. I was going to show OA how that I could still lose the weight, which is why I came in. Right. And I can still lose the weight and not do it these silly things that you're asking me to do. I thought they were ridiculous. And as long as I thought that, and as long as I was dishonest, I couldn't lose the weight. I'd lose some and then I'd start gaining it back. And I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got sick of my own stuff. You know, my own lies. I realized really what was going on. And I guess it was in just before I got abstinent, a little over 5 months ago. Well, no, actually it's 5 months today. It was March 11th. The night before I got abstinent, I got face to face with my higher power because I was asking my sponsors, like, how do I become willing? You know, and I had to pray for willingness. And the night before I got abstinent, I wrote a prayer. And I'm just going to ask for a time check real quick. If somebody could give me one. Three minutes. Thank you. And so I'm going to read it to you guys. Okay. God, I'm going to try not to cry. God, today I am willing. Please keep me abstinent. Help me keep from allowing anyone or anything get between me, you, and this program. Keep my head clear. Allow me to see where I am sabotaging myself. And when I put other things like work, people, social media, my success, my problems between me and you, please give me the willingness to follow this program of recovery and realize that my dishonesty only cheats me. I surrender to you and this program today because I know that that's what will give me a sane and useful life and will help others. Save me from selfishness and dishonesty. Show me how to put this program and you first in my life. discipline me to make me to make sober and sound judgments and surrender to you in this program. I am not in charge. I do not want to be in charge. I trust you. Please lead me today and every day. Amen. And that was the night that my life changed. And since then, you know, there's been a lot of healing. There's been, you know, when COVID hit, people were like, how can you not be depressed and upset and all of these things? I showed up at work last week and someone said to me, oh my gosh, COVID's been good to you. I don't know anybody that would say that to anyone, but you know, I have been blessed to, you know, have some time to reflect, to stop the circus, man. Single mom, commuting every day, you know, trying to do everything. This has been a good time for reflection and for this program and having time to really work my program. So I'm grateful. My relationship with my children, my ex is, you know, in my life, and which is a miracle.
That's time. Happened.
And I just want to say that this thing works, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Anne Marie.
Thank you, Anne Marie.
Thank you, Anne Marie.
Thanks, Anne Marie.
Thank you. So we don't have any time for shares. That's too bad. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Anne Marie, who offered so much of herself. May we please have the reading of Just for Today.
Hi, everyone. I'm going to voice. So, and not sign this, okay? Okay, just, my name is Karen. I'm a compulsive overeater. Very grateful to have 49 days today of back-to-back abstinence just for today. Just for today.
Welcome, Karen.
Welcome.
Thank
you.
Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody but myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all to myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Karen.
We'd like to also thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease.
Yay.
To those closing statement, to those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the craving. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join me to say the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still suffering. So God.
Grant me the serenity to accept, it works if you work it.
Thank you, everybody. It really helped.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Jan Marie.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Marlena. Thanks, Anne Maria. Hey, Mike.
Good to see you.
Good to see ya.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Anne Marie.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good week.
Good night.
All right.